Pastor Joel a few months ago, he expressed what is also true in my experience, that the question, how do I know God's voice, is one of the most commonly asked questions we've heard from people over years in ministry leadership. It's on a personal level, let's be honest. It's one I have wrestled with numerous times, particularly in larger life decisions, but at other times as well. It's not always easy to discern, is it? We want to know, many of us as Christ followers, we want to know for sure that we are hearing well God's voice. And just so you know, a key resource for this teaching series, in addition to the Bible, of course, and a few other good books, is Bill Hybels' excellent book called The Power of a Whisper. Hearing God is the subtitle. Hearing God, having the guts to respond. A very good book, and reading it would help fill in the blanks of some of the areas that we won't have time to unpack here. So I encourage you to get a copy of that book. In this series, we are operating under the assumption that you believe God desires to communicate with those who surrender to Him. And if you don't believe that God speaks to people, that's a different conversation. We're not building the case for that in this series. It's a discussion I'd love to have with you at some time, though. But in this series of messages, again, our assumption is that God wants us to learn to listen because He wants to speak. God, the creator of the universe, wants to speak to you. And through various ways, He desires to those of us who have surrendered our life to Him, He wants to, well, anybody, He wants to lovingly lead our lives. He wants to guide us in decisions. He wants to bring His comfort to us in times of difficulty, and so on. Hearing and responding to God's voice and direction is primarily about honoring God and growing in relationship with Him and becoming like Him in our character. Sometimes, though, for Christ followers, the goal in wanting to hear God's voice can be rather self-focused at times, don't you think? In that the motivation for wanting to hear God can become merely about making my life better. There's some of that that floats around Christian circles. Now, it is a reality, let me just say, that when we hear from God and respond obediently, our life is better. Of course it's better. He's the designer of my life. Now, better doesn't always mean easier. Got to say that. But on that note, about making life better, allow me to introduce you to a couple of interesting characters I met at a large church conference a few years ago that I went to. Their names are Tripp and Tyler, and their wisdom is quite profound on this idea of making life better. So it's okay to have fun in church, right? Okay, roll.
Have you ever accidentally drawn on your dry erase board with a permanent marker? To correct your mistake, simply draw over your marking with a dry erase marker. Now wipe, and it's gone.
In the event that you only have 10 seconds to live, and you need to peel a hard-boiled egg, simply peel off the ends and blow. And then go find it.
Quit eating cupcakes the wrong way. Once you've taken off the wrapper, rip the cake part in half and turn the top part upside down. Now smash together and enjoy.
If your screw hole is stripped and now too big for the screw, simply fill the hole with toothpicks, then break off the ends and re-screw. Good as new.
To make an associate mad, simply touch his computer screen.
Or talk over him repeatedly when he's trying to say something.
That's all for
us. And that is just a few ways to make life better.
They're 1 minute long. Do you want to see one more? Oh, we got a deep crowd here this morning. Roll the DVD.
To easily separate an egg yolk from the egg white, take an empty water capsule. Squeeze it. Press the lips against the egg yolk. Now let go. Move it over to an empty container and squeeze again. Are your CDs scratched? Remove those pesky scratches by rubbing the underside with a banana in a circular motion. Now with the underside of the peel, rub it in a counterclockwise motion. Now wipe it clean with a cloth. Worked, right?
Think so.
Oh, and get an iPod already.
Speaking of CDs, in the event that you need to transport a bagel, and who doesn't, remove the stack of blank CDRs you haven't used since 2004 and replace it with said bagel. Then click the top back in place and insert into your fanny pack. If you have broken glass somewhere, begin by sweeping up the large pieces. Then take a piece of bread and rub it across the same area. The pores in the bread will get rid of all of the tiny shards. Note, make sure that you do not put the bread back into the loaf.
Want to prevent Tripp from enjoying his new iPhone? Call this number repeatedly over the next couple days. And those are a few ways to make life better.
So, our goal as Christians in wanting to hear from God, I submit to you, shouldn't be just to make our life better. There's deeper things there. There's more to it than that. There's a God who wants to be known by us, and of course, he knows us. Stop giggling about that. I'm just kidding. Oh, sorry. I can't get the picture of the muffins in the thing. I'm going to do that someday. Anyway, as a springboard into this whole series, I want to draw your attention to an Old Testament story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, first 10 verses. And this is just, we're just touching on this as we move forward. We're not going to dive into this story deeply, but here it is. Many of you know this Old Testament story. The boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli, who was a Jewish priest. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were very uncommon. One night, Eli had gone to bed. Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out to Samuel. Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied, what is it? And he got up and he ran to Eli and said, here I am, did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli said. Go back to bed. And that proceeded to happen, that exact scenario there, two more times. Go back to bed, go back. Then Eli realized it was the Lord that was calling the boy. And so he said to Samuel, go lie down, and if someone calls you again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed, and the Lord called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. I love that sentence. I wish I could say that I always have that posture. But many of you, as I do, we have that desire. Say, speak, God, however it is you want to speak into my life and direct me and give me wisdom and all that. I'm listening. And you can read the rest of that story on your own time. But that open-hearted expression, speak, your servant is listening, is not just something for pastors and missionaries or ministry leaders. It's the posture and the expression that God wants every Christ follower to have as they walk this life with him and serve others as his representative in this world and in your neighborhood. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Maybe that's something you need to weave into your time with God as you talk to him about life. I don't know about you, but there's times when I just need to say that phrase and be quiet for a while with God. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What a great expression. In the book I referred to a moment ago by Hybels, The Power of a Whisper, he tells his story. He says, as a second grade student, his teacher read this same story out of 1 Samuel about the one we just read. His teacher read it in school, and it impacted him. And I quote from Hybels, "The message that the Lord spoke to young Samuel was a prophetic promise that would radically impact an entire nation. But the content of that message is not what struck me as I sat in my wooden desk." Again, he was in grade 2. "What struck me was the fact that the content got conveyed through the ears and lips of a little boy." And at recess, he writes, tells the story, that same day the bell rang for recess, and Billy Hybels, who typically was the first one out, hung back so he could ask his teacher a question. He asked, "Does God still speak to little boys?" His wise teacher's reply was, "He most definitely does. And if you learn to quiet yourself and listen, he will speak to you. I am sure of it." What a great answer. It's a true answer. It's a biblical answer. Parents, this Old Testament story is one that you need to read with your children. Maybe get a New Living Translation or go on BibleGateway.com and find a good translation to read with your elementary age children or younger. What a great heart to cultivate in the heart of your children, this heart that just says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So much said in that brief sentence, isn't there? Fast forward a few years, and Hybels writes about when he was 16 years old, his eccentric, as he put it, his eccentric father came to him and said, "Billy, I think you ought to see more of the world." Sounds good, eh? It was in the middle of the school year, but his father said, "You must never allow school to interfere with your education." And some students are going, "Amen." Well, the following week, 16 years old, young Hybels boarded a plane. And this is going back probably in, I don't know, his age, but late 60s, early 70s, whatever. Boarded a plane, headed for Europe, and for 8 weeks on his own, he traveled from Scandinavia to the Middle East and then headed to Nairobi, Kenya. It was there in Kenya that God spoke to him through experiences as he witnessed poverty he had never seen before. And on one occasion in Kenya, after coming face to face with people in severe poverty, tears streaming down his cheeks, he heard what he calls, and he writes about it in his book, he heard what he calls an inaudible whisper from God. It was this: "Bill, if you allow me to guide your life, one day I will use you to relieve some of the pain you see." It was the following summer that Hybels accepted Christ personally, surrendered his life to Jesus, and he shares how he grew increasingly aware of his need for input from above. And that phrase so resonates with me. Who of us who are endeavoring to live for Christ in this world don't need input on a number of levels from above? Can't do it on our own. And I stress this input from above, the Holy Spirit's whisper of direction and correction sometimes. However it comes, it is for every one of us who have received the gift of God's grace and are living as children of God. And again, not just those in some type of vocational ministry. I think unintentionally we sometimes have spun it or just, I don't know what it is, but that this God speaks to the man of God. No. We're all Christ followers. And our Father is the same God. The Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that abides in you if you're a Christian, abides in me. And God wants to speak to us. Every one of us, no matter what our vocation is, no matter what our gifting, abilities are, no matter what our family situation is or was, our background, doesn't matter. Hearing God is a necessity for our life. to count for God in this world. And I know probably most of you here who know Christ personally, you deep down, you want, somehow you want your life to count in the end. I don't doubt that. And I hear that in many of your stories and as we have opportunity to share. Learning to hear God's voice is one of the most important things we can learn as Christ followers. And so in these next few weeks, let's grow. Should we? Shall we? Yeah, let's grow together, myself included, all of us, grow together in this experience of voice recognition. Because there are a lot of voices. There are a lot of voices. I remind you of Jesus' words in John chapter 10, 14 and 27. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. And that's an ongoing growth relationship, right? And then verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's the key. All the discussion about hearing God will be useless without a commitment on our part to follow his direction as he gives it. You know, many of you, you read the story of in the Gospels, and Jesus spoke to groups. At times, there were those who heard him, but they didn't really hear him, right? And if we're honest, probably all of us have been there before. There were also times when some in his audience didn't understand what he was saying at all. And a big part of that, we know, is because of the callousness of their heart. I've been there, but I don't ever want to be in, well, either of those categories. I'm certain most of you don't either. If we genuinely know Jesus, we will want his loving and all-wise voice to influence our lives, to shape our character, to guide everything we do, so that our lives can have the Creator's leadership and serve God's eternal purposes. How awesome is that, really? We'll bring big decisions before him and ask for his direction. We'll present the canvas of our lives to him for his creativity to be cast upon. We'll wake up. We'll wake up on any given morning and present to him the day that he's given us. A day when we may know that we're going to face some challenges and some pain, but it's God's and we give it to him. We will ask, and this is habit-forming, friends. It is. We will ask that our minds in that given day be filled with his thoughts about every decision, about every choice, about every action and conversation, learning to hear God's voice and recognizing the power of a whisper is a life-changing reality that God wants for every Christ follower to walk in. And I know that there are many of you who genuinely want to open your lives to God's leadership because you've already heard God's whisper saying, things like, what are you gonna do with your life that will last forever? What a great question. The Holy Spirit maybe has whispered to you, what will you do that will outlive you and your earthly accomplishments? Or what are you going to do to make a difference in the lives of people? Because people are the only commodity that make it to the next life. I heard Pastor Gary Taittinger, my old boss, speak about this one time, lead pastor of Millwood's Assembly, and I love how he said it. He said, the peak, and we're getting to the actual sermon title, but this is intro for the whole series stuff here, okay? God's voice written down today and next week. But he said this, the peak of human existence is to develop a conversational relationship with God, sensing that he is a personal friend and that the purpose of our life is to co-labor with him to achieve something he wants us to do, that he wants to do through us, rather. What a great statement. And then he went on to quote a good outline by Christian author Richard Foster of some of the normal and some of the maybe what could be called extraordinary ways that God guides. Normal, well, we have Scripture. In other words, what God has revealed in his inerrant word means, inerrant means no error, simply. God's word. And this is the starting point. This is the starting point for assessing everything someone claims that God said. A lot of people have said that God said. Maybe some of us at times we've said, God said. I prefer words like, I felt this prompting. When I'm not saying you shouldn't say God said, because there's times of absolute confidence, but that the danger that that can be thrown around flippantly is evidenced, I think. But Scripture is the starting place for assessing everything someone claims that God said. And then combined with that is this thing called illumination, which is the Holy Spirit's work to bring to light God's written word in our hearts and minds. And then there's one of the normal ways of God communicating, I believe, is the body of Christ. And Richard Foster brings this out. In the context of healthy community, there's the teaching, there's the mentorship in relationships that happens within a church family that contribute to the direction of God in our lives. And that can happen. We've heard about small groups this morning. Small groups. People we journey through life with. Can be a big part of this. And then divine direction through circumstances as well. This is the providence of God, as it's put. The providence of God in his loving orchestration of circumstances to help guide us, or to gently, sometimes maybe not so gently, nudge us at times. And then there are also ways that God sometimes leads his people that could be called more extraordinary, like dreams, like in Joseph's life, angels who led the apostles out of prison in Acts 5 and led Peter out of prison in Acts 12. The Bible speaks of visions like Peter had, which led to him reaching out to the Gentiles, and there can be God's word to us through the means of a gift of prophecy in operation in a spirit-led fellow Christian whom God brings across our path. And still to this day, these ways of God's voice coming to his people happen. They happen. There is also what's referred to as the still small voice. You've heard that phrase, maybe, probably, if you've been around church for any length of time, that still small voice. That's taken out of a story in the Old Testament in 1 Kings 19, and you can read the whole chapter. I'm convinced that many times this still small voice comes in the form of thoughts that are deposited by God into the mind of an open-hearted Christian about things he wants us to say or do or somebody to reach out to. In my life, many times, this still small voice is evidenced by, I'm seeing it more and more, actually, in the last few years, by people God brings to my mind that I endeavor then to, I want my default reaction, and I'm improving on this, that right away, as a person comes to my mind, I just want to be simple enough in my faith to believe I've prayed for an open God speak. God put that there. Okay, there's a reason. At the very least, let's begin to pray. Marlo, begin to pray for that person. And sometimes I'll follow up with a note or an email just to say that they came to mind. And that's a good, encouraging thing to do. And some of you do that so well. But I'm simple enough to believe that this still small voice can be, an example of it can be, when driving along and kind of out of the blue, maybe someone comes to your mind. Well, pause there. Maybe God is the initiator of that thought. Here are some biblical examples of God's direction, and I encourage you, again, we're just, I'm going to throw these at you and invite you to invest some personal time prayerfully reflecting on what can be learned from these passages. And you can go to the website, you can write these scriptures down, or you can go to the website later and get them off the PowerPoint slide there. In Acts 15:28, after making a decision about accepting non-Jews in the church, early church leaders reflected on that decision. Have you ever done that? Think back to a decision. You prayed about it. You bounced it off trusted Christian friends. You went through the you parked in God's word. Is there anything that would contradict what God's word would say on this decision? And you reflect back on the decision. And I like the simplicity of the church leaders in Acts here, where in this case, they just said, It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It kind of speaks to me of common sense. Common sense is not anti-spiritual, right? I like the simplicity of that because I think we sometimes overcomplicate what it means to hear from God. And again, it can be challenging sometimes. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But Acts 16, 6 to 9, we see a couple of references to closed doors. There's the providence of God, as well as a vision that Paul had. And they simply, in that case, again, just concluded that God was in it. They're walking along in a posture of openness, saying, God, speak, your servant is listening. And then when stuff happens, can we be simple enough to believe that yeah, God is leading, God is speaking, God is in control? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about begging God to remove what he referred to as his thorn in the flesh. And there's some differences of opinion of what that precisely was, but Paul never really says specifically, really, really clearly. But somehow this response from God came to Paul out of his prayer. Remove this. It wasn't a good thing. Paul wanted it out of the... He felt it was better to get rid of this thorn in the flesh. And you know what message God heard? Paul heard from God? And again, it doesn't say how it came. I think it was just a thought that settled in Paul's mind. At least that very well could be the case. This is what God said to Paul. And he wrote about it, I think for our sake, because sometimes we need this. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. It's in weakness. It's in our recognition of our own weakness that we oftentimes maybe find it a bit easier to put our trust in God and in God's ability for whatever situations are before us in family or work or relationships or whatever, right? Oh, I'm sure Paul's great. Thanks, God. Going to continue then, I see. Okay. He probably didn't have an attitude. Well, no, knowing Paul, he could have. But I have no problem believing that those words, again, were simply an impression in Paul's mind, and I believe these words are included in the Bible to be an encouragement to us. Christ followers today who pray, as we did a moment ago, pray and ask God for just miraculous deliverance, and that is fantastic, and that is all within God's ability to do, but maybe sometimes or for seasons of time that God is saying, I will bring my miraculous power to bear in your life. Yes, I will, but you'll experience it in my sustaining power. And again, sometimes we go, oh, it's not the one, that's not the answer I wanted. But God's power is just as evident when you see a Christ follower who's just going through the ringer. Or physical ailments, or whatever it is, and they're you see it in their attitude, you see it in their ability to still be outward focused in the way they live, you see this come out in a way that they are not becoming bitter. Those are some challenging things, right? We've all probably wrestled with degrees of that at times. But I think that's Paul's case. He said, "Okay, God said I'm going to have it. I can lean on his strength. Let's go make a difference for God." And I know ahead, straight forward he went. I love that. And I need that reminder sometimes in my own life. Hebrews 1. Long ago God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, and now in these final days he's spoken to us through his Son. And this communication to us by the Son comes primarily to us through the written word. When the word speaks, Jesus speaks. And then 2 Peter 1 refers to the prophetic word, which is described as such because it comes right from the heart of God. And so there is prophetic authority every time the truth from God's word is declared. Peter writes in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I want to take some time, very little, because we've got very little time, but we'll move on in this direction pick up next Sunday. But take some time that to highlight some descriptors of the Bible. Descriptors of the Bible. And this will help us, I believe, be reminded of the immense value of God's voice written down. God's voice written down right here. He speaks. And my one simple aim, I guess today and next week, is that you go away from this gathering understanding and experiencing God's voice spoken into, God's voice spoken into your life through His powerful and life-transforming word right here. These are reflections that feed toward one point of God's word is all that. It really is. And more. The Bible is God's clear and loving voice of input and direction for our lives. Now, does God couple that with and reinforce that with other unique means? Yes, and we're going to be touching on some of those things in this series. But God's word is God's voice to you, written down. It's the Bible. God's primary, hear me on this please, God's primary way He has chosen to speak to human beings down through the centuries. Right here. People sometimes have this idea that they are not very spiritual because they don't hear from God. I've heard that numerous times. My friends, put that comment out of your mind. Please. If you are reading the Bible, you are hearing God speak. That sounds so elementary, but we need to latch on to this in our hearts, in our minds, and really believe it. If you're reading the Word of God, you are hearing His words to you. The most predictable way to hear from heaven is to read and apply God's Word. Another quote from The Power of a Whisper. And so right from the start here, a commitment to grow in engaging with God's Word is great. But for us to truly hear from God, a commitment to follow through on what we learn and what we hear is equally as important. And the simple prayer, along with speak, your servant is listening, would be strengthen me to do what I hear you say. Help me to follow through with what I hear you say. I want to conclude just reading from a book that somebody gave me a while ago, and I'm glad they did. Brief story that David Platt, pastor of church at Brook Hills in Alabama, tells in his excellent book, Radical Together. Some years ago, I sat near the front in a worship service and watched the guest preacher pace back and forth across the stage. He was a popular speaker in our area, and crowds had come to hear what he had to say. My first clue that something wasn't right was when he said, "I forgot my Bible tonight." But that didn't deter him. He explained that for days he had prayed about what God wanted him to say. He told stories about how he had taken walks in the neighborhood, sat at coffee shops, reclined in his study. He was funny, witty, engaging, and he kept the crowd entertained. When he came to his conclusion, these were his exact words. "I tried to do everything I could to figure out what God wanted to say to us, but nothing ever came to my mind. So maybe that means God simply doesn't have anything to say to us tonight." With that, he prayed and walked off the stage. I sat there with my Bible in my hands, dumbfounded. God doesn't have anything to say to us tonight? There I was, holding a library of 66 books that are decidedly and definitively the Word of God, and this guy had just said that God doesn't have a word for us. In my mind, I said to this guy, "Just open this book anywhere, to Leviticus for all I care, and read it, and you've got a word from God. Save yourself the walk around the neighborhood and the cost of your mocha. Just read the book. And God is saying something to us. Go from here today believing that. Believing it so much that maybe for the first time in a really long time, you'll open up to Psalm 119 and be refreshed in the power of the Word of God. Or you'll open up to the life of Jesus through the eyes of John in the fourth book of the New Testament and grow in your love for Christ. Let the Word of God, let God speak to you this week through His Word. Would you make that commitment with me as we close? Father, thank you. Thank you so much, God, that you saw fit to supernaturally orchestrate the writing of Scripture so that we could get to know you, so that we could get to know what you think about everything. May we think your thoughts and walk the way you want us to walk and live with your sustaining grace and your power evident through our lives and our words and our actions. As we read your word, we know that'll increasingly happen. And we commit, by the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, to apply your truth to our everyday life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I can't go, yeah, everybody, you know, the old school, yeah, everybody put your Bible, because you got them on your iPhones, right? Love the word. Have a great week. God bless you.